Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
And heavy laden, those of you who have just a ton of problems, those of you who are really are messed up, come to me and I'll give you rest you've never experienced before. It's better than any cruise ship you could go on. I mean, seriously, you don't need a patch behind your ear. This is the presence of God we're talking about. Just, he says, come unto me. Why? Because when you're in his presence, the Bible says there's a joy that is immeasurable, and it overcomes all of the garbage that's in our lives. It overcomes all of the distractions that Pastor Mike was talking about just a little while ago. Distractions are meant to keep you in turmoil, and distractions are meant to keep you all bound up with it. And you know what it does? It makes us focus on ourselves. You see, this is what the enemy wants us to believe. Here's the truth. Here's what he wants us to believe. It's all about me. Anybody got a cell phone? Mine's in my office because I'm getting in the tank soon. Anybody got a cell phone? I can just borrow for a second. I promise it. I got one. Thank you. It won't go in the tank, I promise, Pastor Bill. It's all about me. I've done it too. Don't worry. I'm not judging anybody. And then wait a minute, I've got to post it because people in Japan want to see what I'm doing right now. It's about me. It's called a selfie. It's about self. It's the glory of self. Again, I've done this too. I've never posted anything that I know of because I don't have anything to post it on. But can I just say, there's a balance in there somewhere. I'm not saying don't do it, because if your kids are as cute as what I know they are, you'll want to do these selfies with your babies, right? You want to do these selfies with the man or the woman you love. That's great. I'm not talking about that. It's when we become so consumed with me. There you go, Pastor Bill. Thank you. When we become consumed with self. It's never called, you ever notice it's never called an usie? I just wonder why sometimes we don't name things, because you see, it is about self. And that's what the enemy wants. That's what my flesh, that Pastor Mike was talking about a minute ago. My flesh is at war with the spirit. And the flesh side of me says it's about me. And today, if you walked into this room, let me just say this. Welcome to the presence of God, where it's all about him. Seriously, you're important here because he's invited you here. And he loves you. That's how important you are. But this is the time where we turn it around and we simply say, this is about you, God. This is about you, God. And I set the selfie thing aside. And I say, Lord, this is about you. What do you want to do in my life? Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, sweep through this place. Let the Spirit of the living God bring such a revelation of your love and your mercy, your grace and your kindness to us beyond any measure that we could have ever hoped for. Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. Beyond anything we could have ever imagined or asked for. God, sweep into this room and fill us with your Spirit today. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, and every believer in this room shouts, amen, amen. Give the Lord a great hand. Father, we worship you. Come on, give him your best. Come on, give him your best. Come on, we're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're not talking about someone that is lazily sitting on a throne. We're talking about someone that is actively created in your life. Every day he's creating something new just for you. Give it up to him. Give it up to him. Shout to the Lord, you voice of triumph. Shout unto the Lord, a voice of triumph. He is worthy. He is worthy. And he has made you worthy. Don't you buy into the lie that you are now unworthy, because he made you worthy. He made you worthy. In Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Welcome to St. Charles River Church. We're thrilled that you're here. It is a fun day. We've got obviously a baptismal service at the end of our teaching time today. Actually, it's a part of our teaching time. Everything we do here at SCRC is an act of worship. I said everything we do here, because by definition, worship are things that please God or honor God. It's an act of worship. And so today, everything we do, from the time Pastor Mike was up here with the worship team, to the time we take, all the way through to the time we take our offering, it's an act of worship. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome to SCRC. If you've not been here before, fill out one of these forms. It is in your bulletin today. My name is Barry Ivey. I'm the pastor here at St. Charles River Church. We've been here 18 years. If this is your first time attending, we prayed that you would come. We really have. We've prayed that you would come for 18 years. Where have you been? What took you so long? We've been praying that you would get here. We have waited for you. We had breakfast for you. But we really have prayed for you. Literally from the first day when we started St. Charles River Church back in an elementary school, 18 years ago, we have prayed that God would send you, and it is our honor that you're here. Are you ready today to hear from the Lord? Are you ready? You've been worshiping God, and I love hearing. This is how I gauge it. I love this. When I hear more voices coming from behind me, right, Pastor Mike? When I hear more voices coming from behind me, right, Pastor Carl? When I hear those voices coming from behind me, and I hear more going from behind me than coming at me, I know you're participating. And today it was just absolutely beautiful. Okay, today is a great day. Pastor Mike, if you don't know, Pastor Mike Alexander, our senior associate, will be speaking today. There is something about this guy. When I first saw him, if you don't know the story, he and Carmen are they're my story of how it is amazing what God will use to bring a family to a particular location. They were at Paul's Donuts, saw a stack of donuts, 13 boxes tall, that said St. Charles River Church. They were praying about going to a new church. They couldn't figure out exactly where God wanted them to go. And they're at Paul's Donuts. And there's this stack of donuts. And it said St. Charles River Church 13 times. They look at each other. Do you think God is? Could God have that kind of sense of humor? Well, today, how many years later? 11 and a half years later. Not only has Mike served and Carmen served in leadership roles, Mike just released not long ago the role of elder to accept a senior associate pastor role. That's just how God works, and that's the vision of this church, to raise up men like you and you guys and ladies like Pastor Pam. Guys, this is what the kingdom is about, raising up people authentically who are empowered by God, and God actually speaks through them. Can you imagine that? So today, I want Pastor Mike to come up. He's going to share with you the Word of God. Hey, buddy. Love you, man.
And Al, I knew you were going to be here, so I left my Terry Bradshaw jersey at home so that I would not get crushed up here. It's great to be back after we've been gone for the last two Sundays for vacation, and it's been great. We had a great time, and I did find out from talking to Pastor Barry a little about this Thursday, he would not do well as a member of the Chamber of Commerce for Branson, because I told him we spent a week in Branson, and he said, "You enjoyed that?" And we did. We had a great time down there in Branson. And it was, for another story for another day, it was great how God worked that, because originally we were going to go to Florida, and instead we went to Branson. I know that's quite a switch, but it worked out really great. And vacation can be used in so many different ways. Again, it's a time of rest and relaxation. It also kind of helps me kind of kick this off today, because my family, when I was growing up, we used to go to Table Rock Lake for vacation in the summer, with my dad's family, or with my dad's boss and his family. And when he would take us out skiing, he would have some signals for us if you were skiing. If he's driving and he does this, that means there's a crossway coming, so be prepared. If he does this, that means there's some choppy, rough waters coming ahead, so you definitely better be prepared. So I'm giving you this signal before we get started, because there might be some rough and choppy waters coming this morning. But it's a message that God has laid on my heart. Several weeks ago, a couple months ago, we returned some men from Springfield, Missouri, from the Stronger Men's Conference. We had some great teaching, some great time of worship, and I had a chance to share with you a little bit about it then. One thing that I shared was Pastor John Gray made the statement that we live in an age of casual Christianity. And he challenged us to overcome that. And that's what this message is about today, is overcoming casual Christianity. If you look on your bulletin, we've got the up there. And I'm just a little more casual than even normal today because I'm going to be back here in just a little bit. I hope I don't go back there before I'm supposed to. I'm wearing this T-shirt that has that on there, "Till the Day I Die." And it's from a song by Toby Mac. And Toby Mac is everyone in our house. He's universally loved in our house, Toby Mac. And what the song is saying is that I'm going to give everything I have for the Lord till the day I die. It challenges us to not be casual about it, to not be, I'll do it sometimes, sometimes I won't, go through the motions. I don't like to go through the motions when I do things. When I was younger and could do it better, you know, I was involved a lot in athletics. And there's some people here that can tell you that one thing I hate to do is lose. Yes, I do not like to lose. And I will give it all to make sure that I don't lose. Do everything I can to not lose. When Carmen and I first got together, I played volleyball, sometimes against Rick and Pam. And I think I can take you now, Rick, as long as you got that leg laid up there. Yes, I think I can take you today. And Carmen used to get on to me because she was of a different mindset. I would dive and do everything I could, run after balls. And she's like, "You're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that." I do sometimes tell her, "Are you asking for my man card or what's going on there?" But that's what I knew. That's how I would play. If I couldn't give it all, then I wouldn't play. That was what I knew, was to give it everything that I had. When we were on vacation playing miniature golf with the kids, I'm trying to, you know, sometimes they're holding the putter like this, or, you know, turn like this, and I'm trying to direct, you know, line them up. "No, leave me alone. We're here to have fun." I said, "I have more fun when I win," but okay. So as I was thinking about what casual Christianity is, if you go ahead and put that next slide up, Travis, I ran across an excerpt from a book by John Powers. Casual Christians are those folks who use the local church when it is beneficial to them. They come to church when it's expected. Weddings, funerals, Easter, and Christmas are times when casual Christians appear. Their contributions are criticisms. Their walk with God becomes flippant and relaxed. Like hibernating bears, they are comfortable and do not want to be disturbed. Like callous skin, their hearts have layers of hardness after years of living tepidly for the Lord. The Laodicean church, and we're going to be talking about them in just a minute, typifies these church members. Not hot nor cold. They are lukewarm. And this is a part that's really important to remember. We're not challenging in any way that your belief in God, because it says right here, it's not that they don't believe the doctrines of faith. They are not opposed to evangelizing the world. They believe in all that stuff. But these members aren't opponents of the Lord. They are just indifferent to him and to those things he deems vitally important. Much of what Pastor Barry and what Pastor Mike talked about earlier in worship, that's not important. God's not important to them. Yeah, you guys, somebody needs to do the work, but it's not me. And that's what we're going to challenge today. And when we do that, as you're walking through life, people will look at you and they can see when you're being indifferent in your walk with God. You may think that you're doing all good. I went to church this Sunday, spent my time there, checked that box off. I maybe said a prayer or two before dinner. But what is your walk really showing? If you're going to talk it, you need to walk it. So part of the song, Till the Day I Die, we're going to look at some lyrics, and this is the part where I get to embarrass my family a little bit, because I did it yesterday as I was reading them to them. This is in the rap portion of the song, but don't worry, I'm not going to rap. Even though what I have found out is if you get a good rap lyric, and as you read it, you almost can't help but kind of get into it. And I tried to get Eli or Bella to come up and do it, and they said, no, Papa, you got that. You do that. Matter of fact, if you want to join me, since I've got it up here, you can go ahead and join me. Say you're going harder. I doubt that. You say you're doing work, but you're asking where to couch at. How are you doing work when you're asking where to couch at? God is not a crutch. You can use him when you want to. You only look to heaven when you're going through some drama. And Pastor Barry just talked about that a little while ago. Sometimes, you know, when things are going really tough, I'll look to God, but it's not part of my walk. And when they're going through some problems, and that's the only time they call him, I guess I don't understand that life. Wonder why, because I'm all in till the day I die. That's what we need to be, all in till the day that we die. Oh, now you come in, Micah. Could you come up here and read that for me? So we talked a bit earlier about the church of Laodicea. So in Revelation chapter 3, we're going to take a look at that. In the first three chapters of Revelation, John had a vision that God gave to him of a message for seven churches. And the first chapter is kind of a general vision for everybody, for all the churches. And then in chapters 2 and 3, we get into specific instructions for each church. The last one is the church in Laodicea. And it talks about being lukewarm, which we talked about just a moment ago. Starting in verse 15, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He's saying there's, take a stand. Take a side. Be firm with it. Don't go back and forth. Don't be wishy-washy. I can't handle that. It gets frustrating when you're dealing with folks sometimes and you're wanting them to make a decision about something. And you wait, and you wait. And like, come on, just make a decision. When Carmen and I first got married, folks from my good friends of mine from my old church, they did a great job adopting her in. And so the ladies, they all went to the Fox Theater one night. Yes, I have permission to share this, so. Bella had asked me one time if I was scared of Mama because I made a comment one time about I didn't remember that comment, but I may have made that. But before they went to the Fox, they went out to dinner. And a week or so later, when I saw the folks that went with her, I said, I got a question for you. When you asked Carmen to marry you, did she give you an answer right away, or was it this, that, I don't know, because she couldn't decide what she wanted for dinner. Did she do that when you asked her to marry you? It reminded me of a I Love Lucy episode. We got the old I Love Lucy. I can go back beyond the 70s. So any I Love Lucy folks here? Lucy and Ricky and Fred and Ethel went out for dinner one night. And when they went there, Lucy knew exactly what she wanted. She was going to order first because I know what I'm going to get. So they sat down and she ordered. And then Ethel ordered. And Lucy changed her order. Then Fred ordered. Lucy changed her order again. And Ricky ordered. And before Lucy could get out of my mouth, the waiter said, I've already changed it. He knew she was going to change her mind again. Don't be wishy-washy. Two things I love, hot and cold. I love a good cup of coffee in the morning. And I drink a lot of iced tea during the day and in the evening. When you got that cup of coffee, though, and it starts to cool down a little bit, you're like, oh, throw it in the microwave, you heat it up or something. You can't drink it when it's lukewarm. Same way with a glass of iced tea. Boy, that's nice and refreshing, especially hot day. Now, we've had a little break the last few days, but these hot days we've had recently, you have a nice glass of iced tea, nice and refreshing. That ice starts to melt. That tea's been sitting a little bit, and all of a sudden, it's not refreshing anymore. And you're like, oh, that's bad. And you got to throw ice in it or whatever to kind of get it back. That's what we were dealing here with is this church. They could not make up their mind what they wanted to do. And what happens is when you're indifferent about something, then you don't act. Indifference leads to inaction. You don't do what you're called to do because you don't really know what you're going to do, what you want to do. Verse 17, you say I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So in the study, as I found out, Laodicea is made up, the word is made up of two Greek words that translated mean people decision. And that's the Pastor Barry, you touched on that at the end of worship. That was this church right here. They went their own way. They were going to do what they wanted to do. They didn't care what God wanted to do. They knew what was best. You know, they were rich, of course. They were also the richest church of the seven. Laodicea was the richest city of the seven. So they didn't really feel they needed anything at all because they had riches. And that's something we've been talking to the kids about. We get a lot of questions about what does it mean to be rich. Prior to the statement he made about casual Christianity, when we were at the conference, John Gray said, don't sell your eternal possession for a temporary one. But we do that so much. We think about the here and now, and we don't think about what's to come. And what happens is when you go halfway in, you're not effective. And this was leading to the destruction of the church here because they wouldn't take a stand. Verse 18, so I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Well, they thought they were already rich. But God says, no, I have something better for you. Or Jesus, and buy white garments from me so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. Now, this is a great example here, again, of Jesus having tailoring a message for each of the churches. Because one of the things that Laodicea was known for was an eye ointment that they had that would cure eye ailments. And Jesus said, okay, I know you got that, but I have a better one. I have a better eye ointment for you. He knew how to reach the people. He knew his audience. Verse 19, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. A charge to turn away from the indifference that they had, to take a stand. And the discipline was not for the purposes of punishment. The discipline was because God loved them and wanted a relationship with them. How many of you, when you were growing up, would get some discipline? For me, it was maybe a little belt across the hind end. And they would say, I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm doing it because I love you. I heard a pastor share that once. He goes, I just wish you wouldn't love me so long and so hard. The discipline was because God wanted relationship with them, not to punish them, but to draw them into a relationship of love with him. And how do we do that? We talked about this earlier. We do it by serving him, by getting in his word, making a commitment to him. And when we do that, there's a reward that comes with that. If you've not had a chance yet, we went down to Science Center and saw the Mission Moon exhibit they have. If you get a chance to do that, especially if were around when the moon landing happened, I can remember, I tell you exactly where I was. I was at my Grandma Krim's house, in Zenith, Missouri, watching that, watching Walter Cronkite. We had America's greatest achievement with America's anchor right there talking about it. And it's really a fascinating exhibit. And one thing that, you know, if you don't remember, when the space program started, and when there was a rush to get to space, it was us and the Soviet Union, as it was for so many things in the world at that time. And the Soviets were actually beating us. They were the first ones to put a man into orbit. They were ahead of the game. And a matter of fact, in reading through some of the stuff that in the exhibit, you know, talked about how President Eisenhower, people were disappointed in him because he was not making a commitment to the space program. And when John F. Kennedy came in as president, he made a commitment to the space program. He wanted, and if you're, he famously said, we will be on the moon by the end of the decade, by the end of the 60s, and we were. He made a commitment to it. The Soviet Union started backing down on their commitment. They didn't apply the resources that was needed. So even though they had a great start, they backed off, and we passed them. And we were the ones, the first ones to get man on the moon. And yes, I do believe it happened. I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, but I do believe we had a man on the moon. That was the reward for our commitment to that program, was to be there first. And it's not just being first to the moon. If you look through, again, if you go through the exhibit, it tells about how many advances were made here on Earth in everyday life because of the things they had to do to prepare for that, the space program, for what was taking place. The reward we have here in verse 20, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. We have a seat next to the Father. That's the reward for not being indifferent, for taking action, for making a commitment, for getting in that relationship. We have a seat with the Father. So we've been in Revelation. Now we're going to go all the way back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Now, I don't know how many times I've read that passage and just recently got a different perspective on it, thanks to Bob Patton. Last month at the men's breakfast, Bob had told me a couple weeks before that, he goes, I have a book I want you to read. So bring it, I'll read it. And he did. He brought it to breakfast last month. The bush always burns. Jesus in the unannounced moments of life, written by a gentleman named Heath Admonson. And what the book is saying, if you go back and you look at this passage, it doesn't say that all of a sudden the bush caught on fire. The bush was already burning. And then Moses was drawn to it. And what Adamson is saying in his book is that he went through a lot in his life. A lot of trials, a lot of them were self-inflicted. But God was always there with him. God did not turn his back on him. And he realized that God was with him. And what he's saying is, I always had a burning bush right there with me. And I was always walking on holy ground. It's there. God is there with us. It's just up to us to recognize that. Sometimes it's easier to see. I was thinking about, sorry they're not here today, but when Nate Franklin walked down that aisle several weeks ago, it's kind of easy to wrap our minds around, okay, there was a burning bush with him. That was sacred ground. God was with him. But you know where else God is where that burning bush is when Nate's working his tail off in therapy with the therapist to get to that point where he could do that. Vera, I always go back to that time. We right down here, there's a group of us. Vera needed healing, and she came up, and she was surrounded by a group of people praying over her. And I always share with Vera, what I love about that was she didn't just sit there and pray for me. But she was right in the middle of it. She was right in the middle of it, lifting it up to. And so you can kind of visualize that burning bush there. But there's also, that bush is also there when Vera's, that was at her doctor's appointments. When Vera and Dave are at home, Dave's ministering to her. When I'm at Walmart, who thinks there's a burning bush at Walmart? But everything that we do, God is right there walking with us. It's just up to us to recognize that and to receive him. In verse 10 it says, God says, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." So God has put the challenge now before Moses. It's time for you to go, to take action. It's time for you. I have you called to lead my people out of Egypt. And then Moses spends the rest of chapter 3 and a good part of chapter 4 saying why he's not the guy. Arguing, no, they're not going to listen to me. I don't talk well. All kinds of excuses to not do it. Even though God is telling him, I'm there with you every step of the way. And it's so easy for us to forget that. Even the disciples, I'd encourage you to go read Mark chapter 8. Jesus fed 4,000 people, and previously he had fed 5,000 people. And as we know, that's just men. That's not counting women and children. So it may have been closer to 15,000 and maybe 10 to 12,000. And then they get on a boat, and then the disciples are arguing because there's only one loaf of bread. We're going to starve. And Jesus said, wait a minute, hold on here. Okay, I just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And what were the leftovers? We had 12 baskets. And we just now left 4,000 people that we fed with some loaves. What was left over? Oh, we had 7 baskets. And you guys are thinking, I can't take care of this? I've got this. I can do this. I can provide. The disciples walked with him for 3 years, and they still forgot that Jesus could provide for them. So we're going to jump over to chapter 4 in Exodus. Verse 18. Well, actually, let's back up to 17 real quick. I know it's not on the slide, but 17 says, "And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you." So as God is walking Moses through all this, trying to let him know, I'm with you, Moses has this staff. So that kind of became his security blanket. God said, take the staff with you. So then verse 18, "So Moses went back home to Jethro, his father-in-law. 'Please let me return to my relatives in Egypt,' Moses said. 'I don't even know if they are still alive.' 'Go in peace,' Jethro replied. Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, 'Return to Egypt, for all those who want to kill you have died.' So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and headed back to the land of Egypt." Moses is finally, all right, God, I'm going to go. And what does he have with him? In his hand, he carried the staff of God. So he had that, that's what let him know God was with him. What is it to let you know that God is with you? So the challenge today is don't settle for ordinary. Don't be indifferent. Commit to your walk with the Father. Work on that bond with him, that relationship with him, because that's what he wants. He wants that relationship with you. And one of the things, I'm going to be honest with you, I get kind of frustrated in hearing, is when people say they're not being fed. To me, that's an indictment on yourself. The food is there. I guarantee you, if I can get myself to Hodak's and get me a plate of fried chicken, and I can eat that, I'm not going to ask Carmen to tear that chicken off for me or feed me that slaw or feed me a french fry. I'm going to tear that apart myself. And it will be gone before you know it. I can take down a plate of fried chicken from Hodak's. Don't say you're not being fed. There are so many opportunities out here. We have, this week, men, we're meeting Tuesday night. We have a great message to listen to. Women are meeting this Wednesday. Women serving women. There's a great study that they're doing. Pastor Carl, several weeks ago, put sheets out trying to get interest again, new people to join a small group or to be a leader of a small group. And unless it's changed, the last time I looked at that the other day, I'm sorry to say there are only two names on that sheet. The opportunity is there, the chance. And then it's just a matter of, what do you do in the morning? Do you wake up? I'm not a morning person, I will admit that. But I find my day goes so much better if I walk up and spend some time with God. Take a few moments to spend time with Him. Find a way to do that. If you need help, approach someone. Say, hey, I don't quite know what to do. Where do I start? We will get you started. We will get you plugged into something. And look for an opportunity to serve. You know, we have a festival coming up here in a few weeks. There's plenty of opportunities to serve there. Maybe you can take part just in contributing backpack, contributing a tablet or something for a prize. Or you could do some face painting. Or you could work a slide. There's so many things that can be done to reach. You know, last year, I know you've all heard this number before. Last year, we had 250 people come through here that had never been to St. Charles River Church before for our festival. So the chance is there for you to serve others and to meet others. Take advantage of it. So in closing, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch part of a video. The video that we're going to watch is from Louis Giglio. As you guys know, he's a mentor of mine, really, and watching what his teachings. And just to let you all know, the men know, this excerpt we're going to watch is just a little bit of what we're going to watch Tuesday night. And it's funny, you know, we just finished a Passion City Church series, so I was going to give the guys a break on that. But then when we were on vacation, I was watching this message. And Carmen was watching it with me, and she says, we need to get this before the guys. I go, you're right. We need to get this before the guys. I said, Travis, let's send it to Travis. Can you get this pulled onto a DVD for us? We need to watch this. And we're going to watch it, but we're going to watch a little excerpt of it right now. So if you could go ahead and run that. I want to be that guy. That guy who loses track of time because I'm spending time with my Father. It's so easy to be distracted, though, and not be that guy. I've shared this with you before. You know, a few years ago, a local church, I had a friend who was a pastor, and they would do in October, they do a month of prayer, and they set 1 hour time slots every day, around the clock, sign up for an hour of prayer for the entire month. And I wanted to support my friend. I wanted to support the church in that, so I signed up for an hour. I thought, what am I going to pray about for an hour? But as I got in there, and it's just me and God, I found an hour wasn't nearly enough. It's available to you if you would just take the time to have that relationship with Him.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. The challenge has been laid. Just before we go into a time of baptism, I want to ask that everyone bows their head with me for just a moment. Heavenly Father, challenge us right now. If we've lived a life of casual Christianity, we know it. We're sitting here and honestly, we're tired of the idea of having to just kind of appease the idea of a checklist. Father, I'm asking right now that you would make us so aware that you want to saturate us with your presence. I ask, Father, for those who would say, you know, my life has been casual about my faith walk, and today I really want to step up to the plate, God, and I actually want to have an intimate, dynamic, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. No one's looking around. If that's you, before we baptize these four, no one's looking around. No one's going to see your hand. This is between you and God. But if that's you, would you just slip your hand up really quick and pull it right back down? I intend to leave this place. I see those hands. Thank you. I'm going to be challenged, and I'm going to, yes, I see those hands. When I leave this place, I am going to make a commitment that I am not going to be the Laodicean church. I'm not going to be lukewarm. I am going to be passionate for Jesus Christ. And God, whatever that means, I am all in. I'm all in. If that's you, everyone in this room, several raised their hand. Would you just give them a huge hand for their bold faith this morning? We have four that have said they would like to be baptized. If you have never been baptized, or if you're like me, I have been baptized a couple of times in my life because I made significant statements of faith as time went on. And I said, Lord, I want to be rebaptized. If that's you, we would be honored to baptize you in the future. We just want you to know that this is not our act. This is an act of faith that the Spirit of God gives us as a public profession of our faith. It's not something we require of you so that you will be saved. This is truly, if you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But this is a public statement. So this is not about SCRC. This is about God speaking through these four that are coming up today of all different ages and backgrounds, and they are making the statement, is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, when I bring Gabriel up here today, it's more like this. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I love Jesus. That's really what those statements are about. Sometimes it's more simple, sometimes it's more complicated. But if you've never been baptized, or you would like to be rebaptized because you have made this statement of profession of faith, a deeper level of walk, and I want to mark that somehow publicly in Jesus' name. We would love for you to come and talk to us after the service, and we would do that. The children are here today. Isn't that awesome? The kids are in, Pastor Jason and Ashley in from the River's Edge. They are here, and they're going to get to be a part of this.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.